Hey folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
Turn to Genesis chapter 25, Genesis chapter 25, and I want you to kind of hold that place there for just a minute. Is that where I wanted to be? No, 25, okay? I think that's it. No. Where are we at here? Yeah. 25. There's a deal here I want to deal with. And kind of hold your place there and turn to 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21. These two stories are kind of tied together as far as I'm concerned. And because they kind of deal with along the lines of the same idea and the same issue. We talked last Wednesday night about the two sons that were inside the womb of Rebekah, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn. In fact, let's read the scriptures here, and let's read about them being born. We talked about how they represent Esau and Jacob, how they represent the two covenants, the two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. There are many, many applications. Esau represents our flesh. Esau comes out and he looks red. He has a red sort of color to him. Probably his hair's red and this and that and the other. And so he's called Esau. Red in the Bible, that color is a picture of, the Bible said in Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they should be white as snow, though they should be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And so we kind of covered that last week. And so Esau is a picture of our flesh nature. And Jacob is a picture of our nature and our spirit. In other words, that wants to serve Christ. How many of you really want to serve God? Say amen. You want to serve God. Your spirit is willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what he said. I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the point in my life where I like good. Amen. I like good and I don't like evil anymore, but there's a war that goes on in me. Jesus said, your spirit indeed is willing, but your flesh is weak. And there's always going to be a warfare between what's in your spirit and what's in your flesh. As long as you've got this thing, you're going to be fighting it. Okay? How many of you are dieting right now or have gone on a diet or need to be on a diet? Okay? It's a struggle. It's like fasting. When you determine that you're going to set a day aside and you're going to fast and pray, I tell you what, back during the day when we had a daycare here, I'd come in and make up my mind I was going to fast all day and just pray and just seek the Lord out. And invariably, I'd be up here fasting and praying and trying to be spiritual, and they's down there making meatloaf. You can get me with meatloaf just about every time, okay? And I'm going, Lord, that's not fair, okay? Maybe it could have been tuna casserole or something like that, but not meatloaf. And so anyway, I'd be fighting my flesh. There'd be a war going on. Well, the Bible said that Jacob and Esau, that there was a struggle going on even from the womb. They were fighting one another even in the womb. And so it represents, all these things, Old Testament, New Testament. It represents the law and grace. The law is contradictory to grace. Okay? You cannot be saved by keeping the law. Everybody says, well, how do you get to heaven? Well, you get to heaven by being a good person. Show me one. Show me a good person that keeps the law, that never breaks God's law, never broke a Ten Commandment in their life, never, not ever. Show me that person. That person doesn't exist. You're not going to go to heaven by how good you are. You're going to heaven by how good a God is. I did online Bible study today on the book of Revelation. And there, I mean, just right off the bat, I think it was verse 6 or something like that, Revelation chapter 1. It's talking about Christ who loved us and has washed us from our sins in his own blood. That means he shed his blood for the remission of our sins to clean us up, and he loved us. He chose you and forgave you, not because you promised that you'd be a good person forever. He chose you because he loved you. And when you love somebody, you'll do things for them. Amen? You'll unconditionally love them and do things for them. And that's the true definition of love. And so anyway, that's the two natures. We have Jacob and Esau here. But also, we have a picture of Israel and the Gentile church. Israel and the Gentile church. Now that will develop as we go on. But I want you to notice here that Esau is going to represent Israel who was born under the law. Okay? Esau was actually born first, but who is it that ends up with the birthright? The second born. So here Israel, God chooses them first in the Old Testament, and they're born under the law, under Mount Sinai. Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 4. But he's set them aside because they rejected Jesus. And so now the latecomers, which is us, we didn't have the law. We weren't, our forefathers were not on Mount Sinai or anything like that. We were just vagabonds throughout all the earth, and yet Christ chose to save us. So we're second born, but we get to go in first. Remember what Jesus said. He who is last, that's us, shall be first. And he who is first, which is Israel, well, praise God, they shall be. Amen? But they shall be last. So here we have this picture of Esau and Jacob. Now let's look at the scriptures here. And there's a couple more things I want to dig out of here real quick. Let's see here. Let's look at verse 23. Get our bearings here. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. This was told her even before they were born. Now, verse 24, and when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. There is actually a skin condition that causes, you ever, a circus, there's a circus character in some circuses called the wolf boy or something like that. And there's a skin condition that causes you to be born with this, a lot of hair all over your body. Okay. Hypertrichosis or something like that. But anyway, that's what it is. But anyway, it came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, that's 60 years old, when she bare them. And the boys grew. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sod pottage. Okay? In other words, he was a cook. He was really good. Okay? Had his own show on Food Network. All right? Jacob sod pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Two totally different boys. Now they're men. Okay, Esau comes in from the field and he's faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. I want you to notice what color that pottage is. It's the same color that Esau was. It's the same color that your sins are. But you notice that, okay? You can imagine Esau being a type in the Bible of the person who has a carnal nature. What is it that we know about Esau? He's a hunter. He loves meat. And his daddy loved him because of his meat. Okay, he had a carnal nature. He had carnal appetites. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Okay? He had a carnal appetite. He had carnal meat deals and like that. But he's looking at that red pottage. And he says, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. He's the father of the Edomites. Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. What is, somebody tell me what that birthright is. Somebody just explain to me, just in plain terms, what that birthright is. What is it? It's his inheritance. As the firstborn son, he gets it. Okay? Whatever daddy has, he distributes it down to his firstborn son. The secondborn son might get a little back 40 acres over here, but the firstborn son gets the rights to everything mom and daddy has. Okay? And I'm fixing to talk about a birthright here in a minute, and I want you to kind of be thinking, because you're going to help me name some of the birthrights. Okay? But Jacob said to him, sell me this day your birthright. Now, later on in the law, God had prescribed the Israelites that when they got into the land of Canaan that God had given them, that once they went in and settled that land, that they were never, ever, ever to sell their property. They were never to sell the inheritance that God had given them. They were, upon death, they were to pass the inheritance on to their children. And that, and their children was to pass it on down to their children, and so on and so on and so on. But if you, let's say that Gary was of the tribe of Gad, and his daddy had left him 100 acres and a dairy farm and all this stuff. Once Gary inherited that land, he is supposed to hang on to that and give that to his son when he died. He's never to sell it, okay? You're never to go in debt against the land, but if you did and you lost your land, God had a provision for that. It was called the Jubilee year. And if you lost your land to somebody you owed a debt to, at the 50th year, you got your land back. That was the law of the land. God intended for the birthright to be handed down. I want you to get this in your mind, because I'm going to have you tell me some birthrights. Things that we ought to be passing down and things that we ought not be selling ourselves out on. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen? So he said, sell me your birthright. Verse 32, and Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Now I'm going to ask you a question. Has anybody ever worked so hard in a day's time and been so hungry at the end of the day that you firmly believed in your heart that if you did not get anything to eat for supper that night, that you would die in your sleep? It might feel that way, but it doesn't happen that way. Now, I want you to think about how foolish Esau is. By the way, remember we're talking about our flesh. Our flesh will often make decisions to choose what's temporary over what's eternal. Oh, there's my favorite show there. Boy, I like that show. Well, you know, I could read my Bible. I could read at least one chapter out of the Bible. Probably take me 5-10 minutes. But, you know, that's my favorite show. We have just made a decision to choose something that is temporary over that which is eternal. You'll never read anything in this life where it says, the sitcom, if I hide the sitcom in my heart, I'll be a good person. Doesn't work that way. How many of you can remember an episode of television that you watched last week and remember the script to it? It's gone. It's out. It's over and done with. And yet we read scripture that changes our life and we have it in our heart. And invariably, if I start talking to you long enough, you say, well, I don't memorize scripture very well. But if I talk to you long enough, I guarantee you it'll start coming out of you. Somebody say amen. So I just want you to get that picture in your mind. So he said, "I'm what good is my birthright? I'm going to die. What good is my birthright?" He's foolish. He has a foolish nature about him. And he chooses what is temporary over what is eternal. His birthright would have been eternal. And the lineage of Jesus Christ would have came from Esau, but it didn't. And God knew this choice. So verse 33, Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau did what? Look at the word there. He despised his birthright. He despised his birthright. Now, I want to go to the exact opposite here. Keep your place there in Genesis chapter 25. We'll probably go back to it here in a minute. And then 1 Kings chapter 21. Here's a man by the name of Naboth. Naboth is going to be the exact opposite of Esau. Naboth represents a righteous man who understands that the things that have been given him, he cherishes them, and he's not going to sell them away. So 1 Kings chapter 21, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard. You know what that vineyard was? It was in his inheritance. You know who owned the vineyard before Naboth did? His daddy. And then his granddaddy had that. He could probably show you the landmarks that his great-granddaddy had set up on that property. He could probably tell you the stories about how when he was a little boy, his granddaddy would take him to certain areas of that vineyard and show him how those grapes did well. That if you prune this vine just the right way, then that'll help the vineyard overall. And son, don't plant over here. This land is no good. But son, if you plant over here and watch the signs, because God gave us signs to plant by. How many of y'all believe that? Say amen. God gave us signs to plant by, and on such and such day, when you see the moon do this and do that, then everything would be nice to plant and do that. And he had those memories, and I want to tell you something, they were precious to him. Because granddaddy was dead. Granddaddy was gone, and daddy was gone, and now he owned the vineyard. And that was what he held in esteem as far as the remembrance of his forefathers. Well, I want to tell you what, I'm getting wound up here. Because I can think of this country as being an inheritance. It is the land of our forefathers, and we're selling out our inheritance in this nation. Can I get an amen out of somebody? We are selling out our inheritance. We're selling it. I guarantee you, behind the closed doors in Washington, D.C. today, that communist leader from China was sitting over there telling Barack Obama, here's exactly what I want you to do, and we own your country now, by the way. Don't they? You know how China got a hold of our country? We got too big for ourselves, decided to go borrow money against something that we don't have, and now we're printing money based upon nothing in this country, and now China owns the debt. Do you think that China doesn't have an influence in this nation? You're crazy. We have sold the birthright. We have sold the inheritance of this country, what our forefathers fought and died for and spilled their blood and left their homes in England and places in Europe and come over here and settled this land without government help and government aid programs. Somebody say amen to that. I guarantee those pilgrims, they didn't have welfare. They didn't have health care. They didn't have Social Security. You know what they had? Had a Bible in their hand, and they came over here and settled the land, and God blessed them, and they built a great nation. And it was a gift from God. And look where we are now. We can't buy anything that's made in this country. We have to buy oil from people over there in the Middle East that hate our guts. But we have to buy oil from them. Why don't we buy it from ourselves? We got it. Amen. We owe half of what you own is made in China, Japan, Taiwan, Thailand. I ain't got nothing against them. I'm just saying, what happened to our hands? How come we can't build stuff anymore? And I'm saying to us tonight that we have sold our inheritance and what our forefathers died for and what they thought was precious. We've sold that away in this country. So anyway, here's Naboth, and he has a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. See, there's Ahab's palace. And you know what Ahab does? He goes out on his back porch and he looks out over that vineyard. You know what he's doing? He's breaking the 10th commandment. What is the 10th commandment? Thou shalt not covet. He goes out there and he looks at that well-tended, well-kept, because Naboth thought that land was precious. That was my granddaddy's land, and I love my granddaddy. And I'm gonna do this land just exactly the way my granddaddy did, because I loved him and he was a good man. And Ahab, who knows nothing about that because his forefathers were wicked, he goes out there in his porch every night and he's looking out over that vineyard, and he says, "Boy, I tell you what, I'd like to have that. I'd get them grapes off there. I tell you what I'd do. I'd get those grapes off of there. And I'd put me something else. In fact, I can just see me with a nice pool out there. Big pool house where all my friends can come and party." And he's sitting there looking at that land. And he's coveting his neighbor's land. You ought to be careful what you're coveting. Amen? It'll consume you. Actually, this deal here is what cost Ahab his life. Okay? Verse 2, "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a what? A garden of herbs." Okay? You know what that is? Spices. I don't know of anybody that's ever went to McDonald's and said, "Give me a big bag of your spices because I'm really hungry." They might help the meat and the fries and all that stuff, but spices are not really what you want to satisfy you. But that's what he wants to do. He said, "Because it is near unto my house, and I will give thee it for it a better vineyard than it." I want you to think about that. Or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in what? The love of money is what? It's the root of all evil. Okay? And Naboth said unto Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. You know what he said? You know, Naboth knew the law. The law said it was against the law for him to do that. He was not allowed to do it. Now, the end of the story is that Naboth actually lost his life over this deal because Jezebel got involved. And I want you to think, if God has put me on a quest in this life to study, research, preach on, educate, whatever it is, God's given me a goal in life of uncovering, unmasking, revealing Jezebel and how she works. Okay? And I'll tell you what, I've paid the price for it. Because Jezebel doesn't play nice. Okay? She does not play nice. Jezebel, that spirit of Jezebel, Mystery Babylon the Great that you see all through the Bible, she's epitomized as Jezebel, as Delilah, as other of these types of ladies, women in the Bible. Her job is the transfer of authority. You know what she does here? She gets this land away from Naboth and gives it to Ahab. Okay? Now, watch this. The authority in minding your life as a Christian is not Mike Hoggard. I am not your authority. I'm not the one who says, now, Megan, don't do this. Now, Megan, I need you to do this, and you have to do this. And if you don't do this, then I can't save you. That's not my responsibility. It's this Bible right here. This Bible is the authority in your life. Somebody say amen. So you know what the spirit of the harlots will do? The spirit of Jezebel will do? She will cause you to make a foundational change in your life, where as at one time you believe the Bible was the foundation of your life, she'll get you to either sell it off or she'll take it away from you, and she'll transfer the authority in your life from this Bible to something else. How many of you know that to be true? Say amen. Okay? Now, very quickly, as 6 inches of snow piling up outside. Amen. Okay? Let me just ask you, just very quickly, as we go back to Genesis chapter 25, what are some of the birthrights that you can think of that what we ought not never sell? We should have never sold away our country, but we have. But folks, and we're not getting it back. Do you think China one of these days is going to say, you know what, man, I tell you what, I really like you guys. Why don't we just forgive $700 billion in debt? Why don't we just wipe it off and forget about it? Why don't we just do that? They're never going to do that, ever. I don't care how many of the politicians that you think are going to be good for America. I don't care how many when we get in office. We're not getting our country back. And you know what? As of now, I don't want it. I got a better one on the other side. I'm not un-American. I'm not saying, but I'm just telling you, we've gone too far in this nation. Okay? We've gone too far. So we've already sold the birthright of America. And Esau, the Bible says, though he sought it with tears, he never got that back. Now, God promised a blessing to him, but he never got what he could have had back. And we're not going to get this nation back the way it used to be back when our granddaddy was alive and going to school. Amen? It's not going to happen that way. Okay? So let me ask you very quickly, what are some birthrights in life, some inheritance, things that should be precious to us that we ought not ever sell? Give me one. You should never sell the birthright of your marriage. Okay? If you've had parents that stayed together, they stayed together as an example to you that you ought to stay together, okay? And listen, I know we got divorced people in this church. We got divorced people that's going to hear us out on the internet. And you know what I always tell them? Never, never again. No more divorce papers in the mail. Somebody say amen. Cut it off, be done with it, and stick with what you've got. And they say, God, help this marriage. God, I don't want to get another divorce. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you what, and because you learn, you're supposed to learn. You're supposed to learn from the mistakes. You're supposed to learn from all this stuff. But God, bless the marriage. I don't want to lose my birthright anymore. I want my kids to see a stable home. Somebody say amen. Give me another birthright. The Bible. This Bible, we're celebrating this year 400 years of this Bible right here. Did you know that we do not have a right to sell this Bible off? It's not ours. This Bible, actually, and I'll tell you, by God's providence, this Bible, we call it the King James Bible. You know why we call it that? It's His Bible. God ordained the authority of a king to put His seal upon this book, that to this day it has a royal letters patent. It's what it's called in England. And as long as there's a monarch in England, they cannot change the King James Bible. We do not have a right to take what we have been given in our lives and sell this off. Watch this, because they market these other Bibles as, this is a better translation. This is a fresher translation. This is a newer thing. This is better for you. You'll be able to understand this better. We've changed some stuff in here that they had no right to. Had no right to change it whatsoever. We've made significant changes in these new Bibles, and they're better than they are. Or money. Because that's what it's about. It's about money. And I'm telling you, don't listen. This Bible is eternal. Don't trade off for temporary thrills in this life. Don't trade what's eternal for what's temporary. That's what Esau did. And he lost it. Not getting it back. Okay? So this Bible is an I learned this the hard way in life. I learned this in this church. Being the pastor of this church, God dealt with me about the role, the position that I played. The office of pastor that I am in now, I did not earn it. I did not buy it. I didn't have a rich daddy that got me the job. This is an inheritance that was given to me from pastors who came. It was handed down from pastor to pastor to pastor and was given to me by the laying on of hands. Are you with me? And it was conferred upon me, and there it is. And I owe what I am and what I have to my pastor forefathers who stood with this Bible right here and preached the Word of God without apology to anybody. And as people walked out the door angry, they still preached this Word of God. That's the inheritance that I have. And I can't tell you the number of times the devil's tried to talk me into selling out. And I'm not doing it. Not doing it. I have received this as an inheritance, and I want to pass it down to the next person in line. Don't know who that is, but I want to hand it down to them exactly the way I got it. Exactly the way I got it. Somebody say amen. So this Bible's an inheritance. Give me another one. Your soul. He's got it right. That's exactly what this story is talking about. Is that the inheritance of your soul that God has given you. Your soul is going to spend eternity somewhere. And it's not going to be in limbo either, like Roman Catholics tell you. That's a bunch of nonsense, a bunch of garbage, and it's a lie. Somebody say amen. Tell you what, they'll tell you that all you'd... Well, if your family will pay enough money to the Roman Catholic Church and will say enough masses, then maybe you might get out on an early release program. Bunch of baloney. Your soul is going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell, and it's not based upon your works or how good you are, because the inheritance wasn't based on that. You know what it's based on? Birth. Amen. Are you born again? Well, people have been talking about New Age all day. I almost said Christ consciousness. Whew, that would have been a big mistake. Okay. Do you have the Spirit of Christ in you? That's what I was trying to get at. Do you have God's Holy Spirit in you? Do you want to have a clean life? Do you want to live right? Do you want to please God instead of pleasing yourself? Will you choose that which is eternal over that which is temporary? What was it that Moses decided? He was choosing to follow God rather than choosing the pleasures of sin for how long? A season. That's interesting to me because you know how long a season is? It's 3 months. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Okay? And we're in a season right now that we can't hardly wait to get out of. Somebody say amen. Okay? Springtime comes around and we think, oh, this is all great. And then what happens come July? Boy, I can't wait for it to get cold weather again. Okay? And it's just that way. So our soul is an inheritance that you never sell out. Somebody give me another one. Hurry now. Come on. Your children. Don't sell your children out. Don't sell your children out. The government is not responsible for raising your children. It's not their job. They want it to be their job, but it's not the government's job to raise your children. Don't plan on the government teaching your children Bible stories. Because even if they did, I wouldn't trust it. Okay? Because then all the characters in the Bible would be socialist, and you wouldn't want that, okay? If your children go to public school, then you make sure that they're being trained. And what's the word I'm thinking of? What happens when you give somebody a shot? Inoculation. It is your job as parents to inoculate your children against the garbage they're going to hear in the public school. They're going to teach those kids that they came from monkeys. That's a lie. That is not what this Bible says. This Bible says that God created us in His image, in His likeness, and He made us, and He loved us, and He breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And everything that is right now was created by the hand of God somewhere around 6,000 years ago. Inoculate your children. I've got a DVD out here called Man Walked with Dinosaurs. Set your kid, give it to kid. I've got pictures of dinosaurs in that video. I made that for kids to watch. You know why? Because I want my kids to know that what they're going to be taught in school is not true. It's not true. Don't sell your kids out to the government. Don't sell your kids out to Lady Gaga. Don't sell your kids out to Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne wants your kids. Did you know that? Is it Lil Wayne? Is that how they say it? Am I saying it right? Huh? Lil Wayne. Lil Wayney. Okay. Who buys his records? 35-year-old men buy his records? No. It's kids. It's the teenagers that are buying that stuff. Don't sell your kids out to that stuff. Don't let them buy that junk. Don't let them steal it off the internet either. Don't sell your kids out to the neighbor's kids. Biggest trouble I ever got into was not in my own home when I was a kid. It was with the neighbor's kid. Don't sell your kids out to the neighbor's kids. You might have rules and regulations, the things that you will and will not allow inside of your home. Your neighbor does not have those rules. And you send your kids over there for a sleepover one night. Don't be surprised with what you find out a year later. Okay? Don't sell your kids out to the neighbors. Don't sell them out to the movies. Don't sell them out to Harry Potter. Don't sell them out to, Eclipse? Or what is that? Twilight? Don't sell them to the vampires. Don't sell them to the witches. Don't sell them out to any of that junk in this world. You make sure that you hand them what God has blessed you and given you with. And your hope, your sincere desire and hope in life. Listen to me. Your sincere desire and hope in life is not that they get a good education and make $100,000 a year. Your sincerest hope in life is that you will see them in heaven when you die and they die. Amen. Give me another inheritance very quickly. How about the inheritance of your integrity? If you go around lying to everybody all the time, you ain't got much. If you can't keep a straight face, if you go around cheating everybody in life, or you go around living an immoral lifestyle and everybody knows about it, you're selling your own personal integrity. Now, I don't much go for this, what they teach kids nowadays. I don't go much for this self-esteem nonsense. I think kids got loads of esteem. They think very highly of themselves. That's the problem. Self-respect is different. Being able to hold your head up. And of course, nowadays, you hold your head up when you're queer. Okay? It's just turned right around. Don't sell your personal integrity out for a cheap thrill. Don't do it. Okay? It'll follow you. How many of y'all know this? It'll follow you the rest of your life. Say amen. And there are some things in life, like Esau, though you shed many tears over it, there are some things in life that you will never get back. And one of those is if you have lost your name to people. You'll never get it back, ever. Don't sell out your integrity. Don't sell out your faith. Don't sell out your soul, as Matthew said. Don't sell out this Bible. Just because the government and all this stuff wants to sell out our country, we still own a little piece of it. Let's not sell it out. Amen? That means let's keep the laws that we have in this country. Let's be good American citizens for a change. Amen? Let's not be like everybody else out there in the world. Well, so-and-so does it at work. He gets away with it. I don't see why I can't. Don't be that way. Amen? You be the American worker that you think all the American workers ought to be like. Somebody say amen. You put in a few extra hours and don't ask for pay for it. You go clean up the shop when nobody else will do it. You be the worker that nobody else will be. That the reason why we got all our jobs going all over the world is because we won't be that way anymore. You be different. Somebody say amen. Give me one more and we'll leave. Huh? Don't sell your church out. Don't sell your church out. Okay? I've been here a long time. I'd like to be here a long, long, long time. Okay? Wheel me out on a wheelchair and me suck on oxygen every now and then while I'm trying to preach. I hope it won't get that bad. Okay? Don't sell your church out. Okay? Don't trade it off for the cheap thrills of a weekend vacation. Okay? And I'm not talking about one in a year. I'm talking about these people that go on vacation about every other week. Okay? I'm telling you, you will never, ever, ever. I am the way I am for a reason. I am the way I am because my mama got up on Sunday morning and told us kids to get up and get dressed. And even back then, I had to wear a suit to church. Okay? Boy, I've come a long way now, okay? I mean, on Wednesday night, I was wearing a suit to church. But my mama got us up, and we went to Sunday school. And then we went to church, and then we came back on Sunday night. I remember I cheated her out of it one night. I pretended like I was asleep. And as soon as she left, Megan, to go to church on a Sunday night, she got the road. I got to watch Wonderful World of Disney for the first time ever. Because it came on at 6 o'clock when church started. Okay? I couldn't tell you now what it was. But I can remember the sermons that I heard preached when I was a young boy. I can remember the men that stood behind there, that pulpit. I can remember them opening the Bible. I can remember their mannerisms. I can remember things like that because it had an impact on my life. Okay? Don't sell out your church. But I am the way I am because my mama said, we're going to church and that's what we're going to do. And we went to revival meetings and we went to quarterly meetings and we did. I mean, that's just what it was. And we're having church. I could have called off church tonight. We had snow. Snow was hitting as soon as we started. Here it comes. Okay? But I think it's better for us to be here. God will watch over you when you get home. Amen. Okay? And I'm just saying, These things were fought and died for. The freedoms that we have to come here to this place was fought and died for, not just by the American revolutionaries, but way, 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 there are men who spilled their blood for the right for God's people to meet and worship the way this Bible tells us to do it. How dare we sell that off like it's some cheap throwaway thing that means nothing to us? My granddaddy left me his hat. It was his Sunday go to church hat. When he went to church, that went on his head. How many of y'all remember those days? Okay? I've got it. We've had probably 20 yard sales since I got that hat. It's the only thing from my grandpa that I got. It's all I wanted. I ain't selling that. You know how much it's, I probably get a couple bucks on eBay. But I'm not selling it. If any of my kids wants it, it's a memorial of what I loved and who he was. I'm not selling it. And that's just a hat. I'm not selling this church out. I'm not selling this Bible out. I'm not going to sell my family out. I'm not selling out. And y'all ought not either. Too many people have sweat and fought and bled and died for the things that you have. And they ought to be precious to you. And the fact that you are selling them out tells me that you don't care. Because you think there'll be a long line of stuff coming your way. I'm telling you, we're fixing to run out. There's going to come a time in the book of Amos where God said there's going to be a famine in the land. A famine of what, Brandon? Hearing the words. It's going to be a famine. I'd say the cows are getting pretty thin right now. Amen, Gary? The cows in the field are getting pretty thin right now. Let's don't sell out what we've got. Can I hear you say amen?
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believed in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word. God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.